We're off to Australia now to speak to Tori Hashka. She's a young Sydney-born food and travel writer. She has her own blog at eTori.com. It came second in Quadrille's 2012 Food Awards Best Blog. Her first book, Travels With My Spatula, follows her globe-trotting adventures in food. She recreates recipes to allow you to taste food familiar with beaches, chalets, terraces, souks, tapas bars and tavernas from the four corners of the globe. Welcome to the show, Tori.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be chatting to you.
Oh, it's lovely to have you with us. I'm very excited because my two favourite topics are food and travel.
Well, they are very fond companions, so they're mine too.
Definitely. And they go well together, don't they? It's great when you're travelling to be able to taste the cuisine of each of the countries that you go to.
Absolutely. And I think that a recipe is sometimes the best souvenir to bring home. It means that no matter what the season, you can recreate some of that joy of escapism, even from the comfort of your own kitchen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So do you have a kind of favourite cuisine, would you say? Is that a difficult one to answer?
I'm not sure. I am very much a sort of a bower bird. I like to really delve into the cuisine of wherever we are. I'm very lucky living in Sydney at the moment that Sydney has great access to Asian cuisine. Mm. But we lived in London for many years and we were so fortunate to be so close to Europe there. So I became a huge fan of Spanish and Italian cuisine. I lived adjacent to Borough Market, so we just had, you know, the world on a plate down there. In terms of the recipes that I've captured in our Travels With My Spatula, some of them evoke some of my happiest travel memories. So whether it's the escapism of Santorini and having tomato keftedis, these gorgeous sort of sunburnt tomato fritters, or whether it's trying to recreate the magic of a week-long weekend in Menton with rosé and rose jelly with vanilla cream. You know, sometimes what we would do when we would come home from these jaunts is then try and sort of fish out whatever memories we could and then put them back on a plate.
Yeah, I'm impressed that you can make that work, because sometimes when I'm not a cook, don't get me wrong, but sometimes when I've tried that, it sort of never tastes the same. Even simple things like, I remember frappes in Greece, just living off frappes, cold frothy coffees with lots of ice in, and just it just being a kind of staple normality of what you drink on a daily basis. And I came home and thought, well, I can have this at home. And I made it and was like, ugh, cold coffee. It was horrible. It just didn't work at all.
Absolutely. I think there is so much of the environment that adds into it. You know, some of the poke platters, which I talk about in the book, which are from Maui. You know, gosh, wouldn't we all love to be able to, you know, jump on a plane and go to Maui? But when we can't in this global context, being able to recreate that, yes, you can take the raw fish and you can take the nuts and you can take the tamari and the avocado, but there is something about the seasoning of, you know, the Pacific Ocean still on the tips of your fingers while you're eating it, that adds to the experience. So sometimes a little bit of the magic is lost, but other times when you're in your own kitchen, you know, there are new innovations that come to light. I mean, I would never have thought of putting vodka in pastry crust to make it flakier unless somebody had told me the tip, and it was only by doing that in my own kitchen that we managed to get some of the taste of the peach pies that we ate on a road trip from Baja to Chicago quite a few years ago.
Wow, vodka so in pastry.
Magic. Yes, because vodka chills harder than water, so it can help make a really flaky crust. So yeah, there are some hidden tips and tricks in the book, along with a little bit of armchair escapism.
I love how sometimes the simplest of dishes can be packed full of flavour. Something that we do very well in the Mediterranean is tomatoes. In Italy, Spain and Greece, you know, you can get some fantastic, huge, ripe, juicy tomatoes. And you can have a very simple salad, which is just sliced tomatoes with olive oil drizzled on it, sometimes a little bit of garlic, and that's it, sometimes with some white onion, and it's just amazing.
I mean, to be honest, I don't think I really knew what a tomato was supposed to taste like until we went traveling. And it was a bit of a revelation for me. I was like, oh, this is why they're actually classified as a fruit. The sweetness that you got was kind of was shocking to me. But absolutely. One of the dishes that I love in the book pairs them with fava, which is the Greek split pea paste, and some lamb meatballs and just a very simple tomato salad. And that is something that I, you know, recreates a lot of the memories of the time we spent in Athens for me, but also is just such a great, easy way to not only, you know, entertain a crowd, but satisfy the children now that we have them.
Yeah. And as you say, being in Australia, obviously very close to Asia, there's a lot of Asian influence there, amazing flavours from Asian food. Do you have a sort of favourite Asian cuisine, would you say?
I'm very partial to Thai food because of the balance of sweet and sour and salty and spicy in it. Thailand is also where I took some of the first ever holidays that I did with my husband, who is endearingly referred to in the book and on the blog as the hungry one. and so as much for his capacity to eat as his general appetite for life. But in terms of Thailand, we have a dessert that we recreate all the time, which is a very simple sort of custard made with coconut milk that we then serve with lychees, and we have toasted coconut shards over the top of it. And it's just such a refreshing way at the end of a meal to, you know, if you can't be in Phuket, then, you know, it at least brings some of the flavours back to the table.
Oh, yeah. Coconut is just amazing, isn't it, in Thai food. You can get in the soups or obviously in the curries. And, I mean, just, oh, love it. Thai food's one of my favourites as well.
Absolutely. And then some of those flavours we also found really delightfully when we did some travelling through the Pacific. So there's a great recipe in the book from Fiji, which is Kokonda, which is kind of like a ceviche, which except it uses coconut milk as the steeping liquid for it. So it's coconut milk and lime and shaved onion, and on a hot, hot day, it is so refreshing to have as a very easy supper. And so, yeah, that was such a great discovery for me.
That sounds so good.
Like that. Yes,
ceviche is one of my favourite dishes ever. So I need to try that with the coconut milk.
Yes, Google Fijian ceviche at the end of this, and you'll have a pleasant surprise.
Wonderful. So when you spent time in London, as you mentioned, obviously London's got incredible restaurants from all around the world. Did you kind of have much experience of British food? Were there any kind of dishes, that you enjoyed from British cuisine? I mean, have you had a great kind of fish and chips or something?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think I was so just floored by the quality of produce and the quality of cooking in British restaurants when we arrived there. And I have such wonderful memories of us going down to Whitstable and eating poached oysters at the Sportsman pub in Whitstable, and then also, you know, fish and chips along the coast there. My granny was English, which was one of the reasons why we were able to stay. And I had such a fantastic time while we were in London recreating some of her recipe books from, you know, during the war and the Blitz that she kept when she was a young widow. And she planned all these incredibly elaborate menus for dinner parties that then never quite happened because she had four children and the war took over. And so I sort of thought it was, you know, a bit of my responsibility as, you know, footloose and fancy free back then to see if we could reimagine them some 7 years later. So, yeah, we had a great time doing that with British produce.
It's amazing, isn't it, how I think food and music particularly can just kind of take you back to somewhere, can recreate incredible memories and really make you smile and remember a place, remember a party, remember a time, just through remembering what you were eating or what music you were listening to. It's very powerful.
Absolutely. I think that a taste memory is one of the strongest anchors to joy that you can have. You know, it really does take us back to the sweet spots in life.
Yes, yes, you've got me thinking about food now, which isn't difficult to be fair, but I'm all like, right, what am I going to have this evening? Brilliant.
What am I going to have for supper? Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm the kind of person that when I'm eating lunch is already thinking and talking about what we're going to have for dinner.
Yes, yes. And I firmly believe that, you know, that dessert is a separate stomach in itself.
Oh, good.
So I think the dessert chapter was one of the most enjoyable for us to recipe test and to explore in this one. We had some great fun with, particularly when we were traveling through the US. There were, you know, they do excess very well. So things like toasted marshmallow milkshakes we stumbled upon that then became a good standby for us. And, you know, and then when I really discovered my love for tea when we were living in the UK. And so I found myself wanting to put the flavours of Earl Grey into nearly everything. So Earl Grey panna cottas with a salted date puree and toasted almonds is written up in terms of a story of visiting a colleague in Cambridge in the book. But really, it's just become one of my absolute standby dinner party desserts because it can be done so far ahead of time.
Oh, wonderful. That sounds great. Well, people must get a copy of the book. It's called Travels with My Spatula, and it's by Tori Hashka, who we've been chatting to. Listeners can get a copy of the book from our website, tre.radio. Tori, thank you so much for joining us. It's been lovely to chat with you.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.